Welcome to New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care's podcast. This free podcast is made possible through your generosity. Please consider making a donation through our Ways to Give link on zencare.org.
So, Carmen's coming around the mountain.
Yes.
Mount Milton. So we wanted to dedicate this evening to the memory of Herb and Aaron, who are on the altar. So some of you know that Aaron Daggy was one of our Sangha members, Doan, her son, who died 2 weeks ago, suddenly of a heart attack, after his twins were just born. And then her partner, Doan's partner, died on Saturday. Herb. So, and she is, Doan is so extraordinary in that how supported she's felt by this Sangha. And she's just felt that she would not be able to be functioning without people reaching out to her consistently and showing up at the hospital and extending themselves. And so for me tonight, and this, the whole practice is that point about how do we show up, but not just for me. And this practice is not for me, but for the practice, for intimacy. So we wanted to talk tonight about transmission. And the first, in the Zen school, the idea of transmission comes from a mythological story that we like a lot. The Buddha was giving a talk somewhere in Mount Gudakutra in India. And he held up a flower and twirled the flower. And there's, you know, thousands of people there to hear this person talk. And Mahakashapa smiled, saw him twirling the flower there, and smiled with the Buddha. And the Buddha smiled back. And famously, he said, "I have the eye of the true law. The essence of nirvana, the formless form, the mysterious law gate, without relying on words and letters, beyond all teaching, is this special transmission. I pass this now to Mahakashapa." So it's the thought that this is the first story of a transmission. And we are in a school that really is into it. From teacher to student, teacher to student, over 80 generations to now. And there's, you know, the Zen school loves, you know, tracking that. So you can say like, oh, who was your teacher and who was their teacher? And actually we know all of them, which is kind of sweet.
Well, we don't know them all. We know who they are. I mean, we don't know them personally.
Don't you?
No.
Well.
I've met many Buddhas, but I didn't meet Shakyamuni Buddha in that form.
But there's a verse about this. It says, holding up a flower, the snake shows his tail. Kashapa smiles. The monks just don't know what to do. I love this. You know, in so many ways, this practice is about just showing up. Just showing up. And I know for myself, for many, many years, I've thought about, like, what am I supposed to be doing? What do I do? What should I do? What shouldn't I do? Will people like me if I do that? Will people not like me if I do that? I'm going to go to a talk and I'll see what I can get. You know? This is why Zen's so unpopular. It really is. So all of us in some way want to be told what to do. How to feel better. But this transmission is really about this moment for me, about just ordinary, just showing up and realizing what's needed. What do we need to do? What's needed? What is the loving thing to do now? We don't have to know what to do. But to me, being available to show up. I was thinking about this room as today, and this room has all of these things that I used to associate with me, because I know where everything came from. So I think. Like that plant, many of you know that I grew up with that plant when I was a little boy. But that plant was alive and well before I was a boy. And this altar behind us is from Japan in the 1800s. And I was thinking about how what populates our life is, and we think it's ours, my life. Not really. To me, it's what that's so beautiful about it is its life. And it's only my life when I need to contract from the expanse.
You're doing very well. Rock on. Good. I'm good.
Someone recently said, you know, they love coming here because there's Chodo and I and Diane, who's our teacher, and we're so incredibly different. And I love that too. It's so refreshing. So yesterday we had a ceremony with our teacher. It's normally quite private. There was just a few of us in a little tiny room in Waynescott. And it is a Denbo ceremony, it's called, where you receive Shiho, which means Dharma transmission. It's the ceremony that aligns you as a Zen teacher in the lineage. And it's kind of a special moment between the teacher and the student. A moment where it's just saying, you too. And many people think that, like, wow, I want to become a teacher, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. Hi. But really, just becoming a teacher, it's thought in Zen to be called when you start to carry the family shame. Because people think then you know something. My father said to me this morning, well, maybe now you'll be very wise and say very wise things. And I said, maybe, sometimes. But for me, with the beauty of these kinds of moments, this is just about, it's another moment where we can recommit and realign to the commitment of a lifelong practice. That there's really actually nothing to get. And so to me, the moment was sort of incredibly ordinary. But not about achieving or getting anything, but just the ordinary thing of like, oh, you're hungry, let's put out some cheese and bread.
So luckily, you have me as your partner, so I won't let you get too wise. You know, there's that danger when someone, when a person is given a certain status, a certain recognition of becoming, you know, stepping up some pearly staircase or something to some lofty heights. Yeah. It's not going to happen. As Koshin said earlier, the, you know, people, many of our community love the fact that we're such separate, we have such different expressions of the Dharma. Diane, myself, and Koshin. Very, really diverse expressions, actually. And so yesterday's ceremony was a really beautiful example of that. Oftentimes, this ceremony, as we have witnessed, is done in a, as Koshin said, it's usually done in private. It's between the teacher and the student and a couple of witnesses. It's not a big formal thing like Jukai or Tokudo, when we ordain.
Or Bar Mitzvah.
Or a Bar Mitzvah. It's not like a Bar Mitzvah. Although, it could have been like a Bar. I was the only goy in the room yesterday. Teacher, the student, the two witnesses, all Jews, and me. So it could have been a Bar Mitzvah. Where was I? You interrupted me again. Talking about the difference. So it was so beautiful in this little tiny room yesterday out at the ocean where Diane lives. And to walk, and on the way out there, knowing fully that this was not going to be some grand ceremony with all the accoutrement that usually one associates with this ceremony. And I was thinking, how do I feel about that? How do I feel about not having that, you know, big kind of frou-frou ceremony that one usually associates with this particular transmission? And I felt incredibly comfortable, you know, just very ordinary. And that's, I think, the importance of why Diane has been my teacher for so long. I mean, I met Diane 25 years ago. And she has been nothing if not just really ordinary. Those of you who have met her, she's 87. She's full of piss and vinegar. And, you know, when we're on retreat, oftentimes she'll fall asleep at night, sitting on the cushion. You know, and for some people, that's kind of startling. You know, there's the teacher sitting at the front of the room and she's falling asleep. Well, she's 87, for Christ's sake. And she's entitled.
To be herself.
To be herself, fully. Be fully who she is. And I have said to her a couple of times, do you want to go to bed? And she's like, no! I'm fine. It's almost like, I'm fine just being here, and if I fall asleep, I fall asleep. What's your problem? Such an incredible way of teaching the reality of our practice. as Koshin, when he began, talked about, you know, the famous story or the myth of Shakyamuni holding up that flower, just twirling it. One monk in the thousands got it. The simplicity of it all. The beauty. So important, I think, for me anyway, and as a part of this community and our extended community out in the world, that we are able to embrace the very ordinariness of it. At least that's the Dharma that we are trying to demonstrate. Not give, not teach, to model. That's the kind of Dharma that I like to model. That kind of, a lot of you, most of you in this room, have witnessed my irreverence and my vulnerability, honesty. And I have to thank Diane for that, for modeling that kind of teacher. And to Koshin for putting up with that, with all that shit. All that shit and shame I carry around with me. You know? Or the shit I walk through and the shame I carry around. It's all there, it's all me. And then there's also the other side that reveals itself once in a while. The sensitive, sweet. Right?
Once in a while.
Get to see the other side. You know, all the demons are present for me. There's no hiding. Too big to hide. And I think that's what this Dharma is about, too. It's so big, so vast, the Dharma, that there's no place to hide in it. Because it's so expansive. There's no edge to hide. So why don't you just show up in all your personness?
For me, that's what's so beautiful about that poem, about the snake just showing its tail. Can we just allow ourselves to show ourselves as we are? You know, instead of trying to be something. I was talking with the other day with a group of people, and we were talking about how most of us say, like, just give me this set of emotions, I'm good with that. Anything else feels terrible. And there's this thing about just being available. Doan's family were so stunned by the way people showed up. Before, she had thought it was like, her family, I think, had thought it was like some weird thing that she went to. And there was something so moving about people just showing up, extending themselves, schlepping to New Jersey. Even.
Imagine that.
People live in New Jersey. Yeah, which I learned. And, but that just that simplicity of just extending beyond what you think you're comfortable doing. To me, this is what the practice is. Just extending a little bit more than our preference, what we want, what we don't want, and showing up for it.
Just have to say, in the same way that, you know, members of our Sangha schlepped, as you said, to New Jersey to see Doen and her family. People schlepped from New Jersey into Manhattan to see us. Mm-hmm. It's important to realize that, you know, it's like we have this, you know, this, it's the Manhattan fun thing, you know, going across the water, going under the tunnel to Brooklyn or New Jersey. But we have to be careful that we're not separating. You know, it's there's a danger there. There's a danger in that kind of fun that we have with each other. You know, living in Brooklyn or wherever it is, because actually 23rd Street is not the center of the universe. beyond. So I just wanted to say that. I felt it was important to say that. We are very, very aware that there's much more to our community than this street. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
Rock, paper, scissors. I'm good.
So to me, you know, this practice, to me, the key thing is that it's not about us. And what's beautiful to me about the transmission ceremony is that you receive this document where you see that your name, and then Dorothy, and then Peter Matheson, and then Bernie, and Mizumi Roshi, and his father, and so on. And you realize that you're part of a stream, that it's also not about you, but that, and there will be people after. So to me, the humility of the process, the humility of the practice, is the most important thing. So, thank you.
New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care is currently offering our Commit to Sit program, a 90-day self-commitment to sit and practice every day. This program is generously sponsored by Gayam. See zencare.org for details.